This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We've got the soccer championship this weekend with Notre Dame and Duke on the men's side.
Right. It's going to be tremendous. This is the best time of year.
We got field hockey
just
stuff
loaded
going on.
Up.
It's rocking,
as
man.
As many sports as you can.
It is. It's go time.
That's why you have a network.
No doubt about it. All right, we're going to give you a little one stat per game. And again, we got a couple non-conference games. We just mentioned Virginia and Notre Dame. Talked about Clemson and UConn, and then you got all these great showdowns highlighted by Wake Forest and NC State. Again, the huddle will be there bright and early tomorrow morning. Should be great. Let's start with NC State and Wake Forest, one stat per game. Devin Leary is in the news. Let's start with him. He has thrown 17 touchdowns versus ACC opponents this season, which leads the conference. Wake Forest has allowed 9 receiving touchdowns in conference play, which is 5th in the league.
Balling. I mean, to be quite frank, it is disrespectful that this man was not just announced on the semifinal list. The fact that he is dealing at this rate, the 300-yard games back-to-back, the fact that he is just throwing up strikes to these guys, been so impressive.
Well, here's the other thing. The 17 touchdown passes, strong. He never throws a pick. I mean, he gave one last week on a Hail Mary,
right,
which was kind of a gift.
We count it, but
But, I mean, in terms of, hey, we're going to execute a play, he has been so smart with the football. And I think that's part of NC State's success. Again, every facet, kicking game, defense has been solid, and they just don't turn the ball over.
Right.
Devin Leary's played really smart football.
He has, and knows where to go. I mean, very methodical. We give Kenny Pickett a ton of credit of 1, 2, 3, I know where to go. Devin Leary doing the exact same thing.
Yep, no question about it. Syracuse and Louisville. We'll break this game down further later on. Again, it's a really important weekend. Lamar Jackson gets the jersey up, which will be really, really cool. But as far as this game, Sean Tucker and Garrett Schrader have combined for 1,937 yards rushing. That is the most for any two Football Bowl subdivision teammates. More than 109 FBS teams have totaled. I'm not stuttering. That's a deadly 1-2 combination.
It really is. I mean, and the emergence of it has been so fun to watch. We actually, on my podcast, just interviewed Sean Tucker yesterday. He'll be on next week. And we just asked him, how much fun has it been to have the emergence of someone else? He said, it's freed me up so much because people can't hone in on just me. They have to worry about this quarterback. So when it's that zone read, you are at a stressful, stressful situation because the quarterback pulls it. If you just hone in on Sean, he's out. He's gone. Time and time again, we've seen those long legs stride over the end zone for 30-plus yard TDs. And, man, that's fun. Syracuse has been a very fun team to watch this year.
And Dino will look back, and so will Louisville, at the end of this season and look at that 3-game losing streak that lost all 3 by 3 points.
Right.
Could have won every single game.
Yeah.
And would have, could have, should have. But they're still in a great spot. They're a win away from getting to become bowl eligible. And Louisville, fourth quarter leads, man, you got to figure out a way to close, right?
Yeah,
got to figure a way to close.
Right. And I mean, that's something you do in the offseason. That's a weight room mentality, the extra sprints, the extra weights, the extra conditioning. Everything that we do is for that fourth quarter. So you have to think going into this offseason, there is going to be a huge emphasis on that for Louisville.
All right, Miami and Florida State.
Uh-oh.
Boy, the Sunshine State. There was a time in the 90s.
This is for a natty.
That this was not about state pride. This was, hey, this was bling time.
That's right.
Because whoever wins this one's going to win the whole deal. Both those programs looking to get back to that level. But nevertheless, anytime they get together, it's going to be intense. Florida State has scored on 19 consecutive trips to the red zone. That's the 5th longest streak in the Football Bowl subdivision. On the flip side, Miami has allowed opponents to score on nearly 97% of red zone drives. That is dead last in the ACC.
So you're saying there's a chance if Florida State gets in the red zone, they're going to score?
Based on that number, that would be correct. But you know what? Florida State, number one, has got to get healthy.
They do.
Right? Last week against NC State, the flu bug was a problem.
Right.
Jordan Travis, we'll see.
Big piece.
That's a really big piece.
Yeah, I mean,
changes
that's what
everything.
They do. I mean, that was their identity that they developed over that 3-game stretch, winning 3 games in a row for the first time since 2017, and you know, just able to make it happen. And Jordan was such a big piece of that. That run game was fantastic. And then they ran into a brick wall in Clemson. Then the flu bug hits. They run into another brick wall in NC State. So now, if everyone's healthy, can we get back on track? Can we give Corbin the football? I think you force feed him today. I mean, you've got to get him more than 15 touches. That's been his ceiling. That's been his number. Give him the rock, let him feast, and just go at it. I mean, this big rivalry game. I mean, throw everything out of what you think is going to happen, because it's going to be just man on man, and it matters to these guys.
It's personal.
It is, absolutely.
This is a backyard brawl.
No
is
question.
What this thing is. No disrespect to West Virginia Pitt. You know, the other thing, too, is there anybody in the league playing better than Miami?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Hottest team in the conference. I mean, you talk about confidence in your guy, in your ability, in Tyler Van Dyke and what he has been able to do. I've also got to give a ton of love to Coach Lashley. I mean, taking the training wheels off, because that wasn't working. You know, they said, okay, this young man can handle it. He's prepared. He's ready. And the play calling for Miami has been fantastic. And then the wide receiver play to actually, you know, come down with these passes. Mike Harley, Charleston has done an unbelievable job there. Rambo, and just seeing the things that they can do as a team. It's been very impressive since that. I mean, a tough start. You look at Alabama, App State, Michigan State. A combined, I think, four losses of those three teams together. That's a tough start, and this team has just put that in the rearview mirror.
I give both these teams credit in the sense that, you know, Florida State starts off 0-4, and you're like, oh, yeah, this is a disaster. They found it. They played great in October. Right. I mean, the Clemson game, they could have won that game. Last week, NC State was better, and, of course, Florida State was all banged up with the flu bug. But they could have just waved the flag and said, man, catch y'all next year. We'll go 2-10, see you later.
Right.
Wrong.
Right.
They're still playing hard. Miami, 2-4. Manny Diaz shaking Mac Brown's hand after a tough loss.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, man, they got NC State and Pitt next. Yikes. This could be a disaster. Wrong answer. Both these teams have basically said, gut check. No, we're better than this, and let's go play.
Right.
It'll be intense. It's always great.
Oh, yeah.
It's always
gonna be a fight. I mean, it's going to be an absolute fight. Cannot wait to watch this game.
There's no doubt about it. Boston College, they got Dracovic back. Guess what? They're heading down to ATL to take on Georgia Tech. Jahmyr Gibbs has had a 50-plus yard play from scrimmage in each of the past five games. BC, by the way, fourth in the ACC in explosive plays allowed. Expect big things to happen in Atlanta tomorrow.
Listen, Jahmyr Gibbs is such a freaky athlete. I had him as my number one running back this year coming into this season. I don't think he's quite lived up to that ranking, but, you know, just an unbelievable player. And any time that he can touch it, whether it's in special teams, in the run game, or receiving, he can hit from anywhere. He can strike at any time, and that's going to be a big time, you know, thing that Boston College has to, you know, look at and prevent. Now, their defense playing really well. They rank amongst the top in the country in a bunch of different categories. So that Lukaboo effect, that Halfley effect, is really coming to fruition for Boston College.
Jeff Halfley, in case you missed it yesterday, he joined us. We're going to replay that for you coming up in the Power Hour. And he just talked about Dracovic being back, how it energized everybody, not just the offense, also the defense. They were terrific a week ago, really shutting down Virginia Tech. Eric, you were there. You saw it.
Man, there was a buzz when they announced that. I mean, that was almost the loudest cheer of the game. Everybody was so excited. And, you know, really, they came up and told us about 6 o'clock, so it was nice, a little heads up. But then I just watched Phil the entire warm-ups and the energy that he had, the excitement that he had. You just knew that he was going to have a big-time night. A little bit of rust, but I think that young man is well on his way to being amongst the best in the ACC.
All right, let's go to Blacksburg. It's our middle game tomorrow here on ACC Network. Duke at Virginia Tech. Jermaine Waller is one of two football ball subdivision players with 4 interceptions and a pick 6. And, oh, by the way, Duke has thrown 7 INTs this season.
They'll give it to you. They surely will. And he's a guy that just is always in the right place at the right time, whether it's a tip, whether it's him stepping in front of a guy. This one was awesome. You're about to see Eddie Royal filming this in HD right in the bottom corner right there. We had a great view for that pick, and he's a special player. I mean, he eliminates an entire side of the field and pack. If you want to challenge him, might be dangerous.
Something's got to give in this game, right?
Maybe.
I mean, seriously, someone's got to
0-0 tie. What happens?
No. I don't want any more of that 0-0 stuff. That's already no. We're not going Frank Beamer on that. No, sorry. Something's got to give. The Hokies have got to finally start winning at home. Last chance for 21 tomorrow.
It's going to be interesting to see how many people show up.
That's what I said the other day. Yeah. I'm kind of intrigued to see what Lane Stadium looks like.
Yeah.
Right,
which is tough. I mean, it's an amazing environment. I was so excited when we were able to go to that and see it. And it delivered, but it just hasn't equaled wins. This team cannot figure it out at home. And you've got a Duke team that, surely it's not translating to the win column, but they know who they are. They know they can run the ball very well, and they have a guy in Mateo Durant that second in the conference in rushing. Just hand it to him time and time again.
That's what I said. Give it to him 40 times.
And let's see what happens. I mean, you've got a great new running back, Malachi Thomas for Virginia Tech. This might be a very short run the ball every play game.
All right, we're going down to Death Valley. We just talked about it with Dabo, UConn, and Clemson. The Tigers have won 14 of the last 15 games when facing an opponent for the first time ever. They're 63, 38, and 4 all-time versus new opponents. Tomorrow, they will go to 64, 38, and 4. Call already me crazy.
Count it.
I think this count is it before a, this, it happens. I normally don't do this, but I don't think this game will be competitive.
The fighting Jim Moores aren't going to figure it out.
Well, they might, maybe next year. It's not going to be tomorrow. I think Clemson's starting to play a little bit more confidence. I think they take care of business.
They are. And you know what's interesting about this game, Pac, is years past, you might look at this game and say, oh, you know, you want to run right, you want to run left, maybe throw a couple of quick passes. That's not the case for Clemson this year. You have got to get confident in calling your stuff. Okay, you don't want to give something away for the weight game. You have to prove to yourself that you can do it before you do it in a weight game. So this is a great environment. I'm not going to call it a practice. I don't want to be disrespectful, but you have got to get comfortable in going downfield, getting vertical, executing at a high level.
Finishing drives.
Yeah, I mean, this is a huge game for Clemson moving forward. And if they want to accomplish some of their goals and if they get the opportunity to somehow go to an ACC championship, a game like this, very important for the Tigers.
Final game is Notre Dame at Virginia. The Hoos have scored a combined 100 points in the first half over the past three games. You heard me. 100 points in the first half over the last three. 34 against the Heels, 24 on Georgia Tech, and 42 at BYU.
I don't know if they need the 42 type of effort, but it'll help. It certainly will, and especially if you have number five, you know, back there delivering strikes and, you know, just picking guys apart all year long. A fast start is going to be essential for Virginia in this game.
Brandon Armstrong is going to have to be essential for this game. That's what
you have him in the full body cast. Unlock it right before kickoff and say, go get him, bro.
Five's got to be good to go if they're going to pull off the upset tomorrow night. We'll see where it goes. All right, when we come back, we talk about all this offense. How about some defense?
Boring.
Oh, no. Defense wins championships. We're going to break it down for you on Packer and Durham. As I mentioned, Eric filling in for Wes. Again, you guys right here on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
First of all, it's KRZYZEWSKI. And if you think that's bad, it was a lot worse before I changed it.
Well, I know you like to look forward, you know, no rearview mirror, but I want to just take you back for a second to March 18th, 1980. Do you remember what you made your first year?
Well, they offered me the job, and I accepted it. And what was her first question was, how much are we going to make? And I said, you know, I don't know. I made $40,000. I make a lot of money now. We didn't get in this for that. And we've done what we've loved for a lifetime.
Does it feel any different to you knowing that it's your last year coaching at Duke?
You know, I don't think of it that way. I will say this, that when we had our exhibition game, and it was the first time we lined up for the national anthem, I got a little emotional. That's not where my head is at, but I'm sure that the situations that I'll be in throughout the season, some of them will evoke that type, but I don't want to go there.
Nice. Good, that's right, three.
Why is John Shire the right coach for this job to succeed you? And what did you mean by succession, almost in a military way, to be able to train Coach Shire as he takes this over?
Yeah, succession is part of what you are taught in the military, because if you have a command, it's usually for a year, maybe a year and a half, sometimes two, but it's never yours completely. But John's been with me since ninth year. He's only 34. And if this was a year or 2 years ago, I'm not sure that I would have gone along because he wasn't ready then. He's really ready.
How have his duties been different knowing that he's taking over next year?
I think the main difference is in the recruiting. In June, when you walk in those gyms to watch kids play, probably the first time he walked in, they were saying, "Where's Coach K?" Then they stopped saying that. And then they said, "That's Duke's head coach next year."
Williams rolls to the rim and finishes with two hands.
This year's team, I know you're long, you're athletic, you're going to be big and physical, but how do you see this team
playing? A quick-paced team. You know, we shouldn't have many shot clock violations. And a team that plays pretty good defense.
Our next men's college basketball games are right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. I'm talking about tonight, not messing around. We got a Tobacco Road doubleheader with Army and number 9 Duke. That's coming up at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Coach K's final season salute continues. Did you hear? This is last year.
I knew that.
Yeah. Then Hubert Davis, the era has begun in Chapel Hill. The number 19 Tar Heels host Brown. Our coverage starts with Nothing But Net pregame show at 6 Eastern from Cameron Indoor Stadium.
We should go to those games. Well, you want to hit both those up?
You're heading up to Winston-Salem right after the show.
Yeah.
Deeks, you're at home tonight if you're in the mood.
Might hit up all three.
Got a chance.
Aaron Katzman, if you're listening, let's do it.
Get you the little car. Sit right there. You don't have to lift a finger. No need for the jet.
I'd like to fly.
Nah, who ain't flying you there, brother? Yeah. Crazy. Crazy. All right, let's talk about some college football defense. Defense. All right, can defense win championships? You're over there shaking your head, big offensive lineman.
Not recently, it hasn't. It's been a lot of offense.
Well, we saw some defense last night, though, didn't we?
I'm talking championships.
Well, last
if you don't score 50, you ain't winning.
Okay, big man, I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to give you a list of the top ACC offenses in conference play.
Okay.
All right. You ready to go? You'll see it on the screen. For folks listening to us on radio, tough. Here's the deal. Top offenses in ACC play. No surprise. Wake Forest averaging 41.5 a game. Strong.
In ACC play.
ACC play. Emphasize conference play. Pitt's averaging 37.5. Wahoo Wild 36. The Heels 35. Miami 34.4. TVD changing everything on that front. And, again, you look at yards per game, Virginia, ridiculous. 536 yards a game, Wake second. Pitt third, everybody over 5 Bills there. Miami at 453 yards, the Heels just under 453. All talented offenses there.
No, absolutely. I mean, you look at the top three specifically. I mean, those guys are dealing each and every night. And we just saw a struggle between, of course, Pitt and North Carolina. Two teams on this list, as everyone thought, it would just be an absolute score fest. And guess what? Your defenses came to play.
All right, now we're going to give you the flip side. Play some defense, all right? We're going to give you the list. ACC, again, this is in conference games only. No surprise in points per game. NC State, Clemson, 1-2.
Yep.
No surprise.
No, absolutely
both of them consistently good. Despite injuries, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Both got
sides.
After.
Both sides have big-time injuries. And I'll tell you, the one team on this list, I'm looking at Pittsburgh right here, and the fact that they're on here is great, but just the inconsistencies.
Just like last
night. We've seen them. Yeah, exactly. You have flashes of greatness, then you just forget how to kind of play for a little bit. I think that's the biggest thing holding them back. But everybody on this list has certainly shined throughout this season.
Yards per game, always interesting as well. Again, it's all about scoreboard. I want to be low in the points department. You can run up and down the 20s all you want, but if you don't score, you can't win. But the NC State, Clemson, again, 1-2 in that combination. Syracuse has been really good too, right? They've been consistently good this year, Syracuse.
And the interesting thing about Syracuse is they're so young on that defense. Everywhere you look, it's sophomore, freshman, guys that are in key positions that are really playing outside of their mind. And so when I think of Syracuse moving forward, and they changed last year, right, to that 3-3-5, trying to get guys all over the field. COVID year, hard to really teach that via an iPad when it's something that is so brand new, you know, to some of these guys. And now this year, okay, we've really been able to dive into it. They have a top 5 ACC defense. I'm only thinking about next year. What does it look like? And I know we've got games to play, but just when you see how many young guys are in key positions for them that are now going to be juniors and sophomores next year, look out for Syracuse. There's going to be some fun preseason hype there.
All right, let's look at the top offenses against the top defenses in the league. How'd you do? How's this work?
I think it's going to be in my favor.
You think so? Well, look at these numbers, big man. See how it looks. Versus the best offenses in the league in conference games only against the top defenses in the league. Miami, Pitt, they're both 2-0. Wake, they're also undefeated at 1-0. Wahoo, still waiting. The Heels, 0-2. Sam Howell and company.
Season, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, really does. But 5-2.
Not
bad. You know what that shows you? Offense wins championships, Pack.
All right, how about the other way around? How about the top defenses? All right? Give you the flip side here.
Writing's on the wall, man.
Yeah.
Writing's on the wall.
You know, I do think, though, at the end of the day, Eric, you guys on the offensive side can beat your chest and get in the end zone and feel good about it.
Be careful.
All the highlights on SportsCenter and everything else. But I do think at the end of the day, it's all about stops. And it may not be, hey, we held you to 7 points, because that day's over with
right.
in this day and age of college
right.
football. But I do think, whether we're talking about the college football playoff, we're talking about the ACC's Atlantic Division or Coastal, or who's going to win it in Charlotte, pick a league. I don't care. Eventually, you must have a stop.
Right.
I don't care if you score 40 a game. You'll talk about, man, it was important when we stopped those guys twice. Momentum down the road. You got to have the ability to do that.
Yeah.
You have to.
You have to at least once, or change the game. You know, is it a big defensive stop? Is it a big turnover? A lot of times when defenses can't stop you, they can't slow you down, they put emphasis on that turnover. Okay, can we punch the ball out? Can we force something to happen? And we've seen it time and time again, that Wake Forest, North Carolina game. It just took one.
That's right.
One stop, you win the game. And they were able to do that, North Carolina was. And, you know, really a couple of turnovers in their favor. And, you know, that ball, it bounces weird ways, man.
All right, let's look at the schedule moving forward in terms of the top offenses versus the top defenses and what is still out there. You don't have to look far, because tomorrow night in Winston-Salem, you got it.
Look at
strength
these great
versus
games.
Strength.
Come on, man. I'm putting a lot of emphasis on this game. We're going to be there, but it's going to be such a fun matchup because of what you just said. Strength versus strength, number one versus number one in their respective categories. But look at the finish. I mean, all these great games between these top offenses and defenses. It's going to be a great couple of weeks for the ACC.
Well, I just think not only the game tomorrow night, right? We've already talked a lot this week about Wake NC State. But given what Pitt did last night, winning that game in overtime, it sets the stage for Virginia and Pitt next week. Like I said, it's that is next week's NC State Wake game.
That's right.
It really is.
That's right. Back-to-back weeks, we have a playoff caliber game to get to Charlotte, to get in the ACC championship. NC State, never been there. A lot of chips on the table tonight. A team like Pittsburgh, hopeful to get back. Virginia, hopeful to get back. So it's going to be a tough stretch here, and certainly some crazy things can happen. Clemson fans, Miami fans, they're just sitting there like, come on.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Just give me a chance.
Something happened. Give me a chance.
You know, Clemson will get their shot next week when
That's
Wake
right.
Forest comes to Death Valley. So the Deacs, hey, they're coming off a loss.
Tough stretch.
There's pressure. Right? There's no doubt. You get to this stage, you're ranked. Hey, it's a big, every week's a big deal. But they're going to see their two best defenses back-to-back weeks.
Right.
They're going to see it at NC State tomorrow night. They're going to see it in front of probably 80,000 next week in the Valley.
And I think this will be very telling of Wake Forest, because they always have great starts, always have great Septembers, pretty good Octobers. And then November, okay, we get some guys hurt, we lose some football games. This is where you can say this is a different year. We're a different program now. The culture is really shining, because three of your hardest tests back to back to back starts tonight or tomorrow night with NC State coming to town.
And if you're the Wolfpack, hey, you know what tomorrow's all about? You also know that, guess what? You got Syracuse left. Syracuse playing great defense. You got North Carolina, and they're a great offense. So there's a lot of work to do
if
you're those guys. And if you're Pittsburgh, we just told you about Virginia next week, and they got a road trip to Syracuse to end it up. That old Big East love. With something on the run, and especially if Syracuse is playing for a bowl.
Right.
I mean, there's so much football
there is.
Left to be played.
Meaningful football.
Big time.
And that's fun. I mean, it really is. When you don't have either side locked up, and there's chaos and anarchy on both sides. And I want to go back to NC State right there. And in understanding what's in front of you, those guys are chasing it.
And if you're Miami, you've got the easiest road of any of these teams. And
just
you're just looking for a hiccup. You know, you go take care of your business.
Right.
Of course, that involves Florida State tomorrow, which will be very emotional.
Yeah.
You go take care of your business. Hey, if somebody can't handle the pressure, thank you very much.
That's right.
I know my way to Charlotte.
A ticket.
Yeah, we've been there before.
That's right.
I know how to get there.
Very recently.
It's going to be
recently.
Fun, man. This road to Charlotte is going to be crazy, and it really gets cranked up tomorrow. And again, that Wake Forest NC State thing is going to be great. Quick break when we come back. Part of the huddle. Up and above, Eric McClain joins us.
Come on, E.
E.J. Manuel knows a little bit about this Florida State-Miami game. We'll get into all that with EJ. All that's coming up next right here on Packer and Durham. You guys on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Compliments of our next guest, EJ Manuel.
It's his favorite band.
He requested a little AC/DC. apparently one of his favorite bands, and I never knew that until listening to SiriusXM Channel 84 the other day. Let's bring him on here. EJ, what's happening?
Hey. Good morning, Pat. Good morning, E. And look, I get my, I guess, my history in rock and roll and country music twice a week on SiriusXM Channel 84, as you know, Pat, because, you know, Brock will always bring in, you know, we'll have some music, and I'm like, okay, I like it. I just don't know the bands or the artists. But then when they play Jay-Z or something, I'm like, yo, Brock, who was that? And he's like, So it's right. A funny balance, man. That's we have right. A good
back
time.
Back and forth, back and forth.
We're kidding around because I told the guys, you know, while ago before the show started, I said I clicked on for my show the other day and you on with the right. Brock, and the only thing I heard was AC/DC and Brock asking you the question. You went, man, I got no idea who that is. I'm sitting here in the house going, come on, EJ, you got to get this one right.
I know, so bad.
No, listen,
and
I hear
the
you.
Worst part is I've heard this 100 times at stadiums across my career in college right. And NFL, so now, I'll never get it wrong, though. I'm a quarterback by trade, so I won't make the same mistake twice. So I'll try not to.
I know better. I know this much. There won't be any need for fired up people tomorrow in Tallahassee, right? I mean, this game is personal. You've lived it. Try to explain to folks why this game is different than every other game on the schedule.
Yeah, well, the Florida State-Miami rivalry obviously dates back to, what, the 80s, the 70s, when Coach Rick was playing and Jim Kelly and those guys. But for me, I think it's just the story traditions of both universities. Obviously, the football program and the fact that a lot of these guys grew up with each other, you know, from Pop Warner, the kids from Miami, the kids from Northern Florida, even some of the kids from South Georgia. I feel like they all kind of play each other throughout the circuit of Pop Warner football, middle school, high school football, obviously, with these teams and the way they travel now. But for me as a kid, kind of an implant from Virginia, it's funny. Initially, I wanted to go to Miami as a freshman and sophomore. I used to watch Bad Boys and Any Given Sunday, the movie. So I always thought Miami would be cool. And that's why I live here now. But as far as when it came time to get recruited and all that, I came on an unofficial visit, didn't like it as much. Obviously, I got more scholarships as time went on and fell in love with Florida State. But yeah, it's definitely a storied tradition, and it's not something that you take lightly because you want to have the bragging rights for the rest of your life. So, you know, when I live and move around down here, I see UM fans at Publix and grocery stores, and it's all respect because I did my thing when I had the opportunity.
You give them a little salute with two fingers and let them know 2-0 against those guys. You let them know. Give me your favorite moment from that game, E. You had great success against the Canes, 2-0. Give me a moment that you'll never forget going against those guys.
Man, you guys actually played the clip. So I want to say it was my senior year at Florida State, and I threw that touchdown pass to Rodney Smith. And the reason that was so, you know, special to me at least, it might have been my junior year. We were at home, so can't remember what season it was, but threw that touchdown to Rodney, and, you know, Rodney's from Miami. So for us as Florida State guys on that team, if you weren't from Miami, you wanted the guys who were to have success. So whether it was Xavier Rhodes, LaMarcus Joyner, Rashad Green, who was from down in Fort Lauderdale, Rodney Smith, those kinds of guys, we wanted them to have success. Devontae Freeman, we had so many players that were from the 305 area, man, and when they had a chance to play UM, we wanted them to beat them.
EJ, more barking in this game than normal, because it looks that way. Sitting my big butt on the couch, I don't care when they play, whether it be down in Hard Rock or up there in Tallahassee, man, it just feels like, hey, this is go time when these two get together.
Yeah, Absolutely. Look, I mean, you don't have to get, riled up for this game. I think even once you get on the bus from the hotel, going through, and this is going to be in Tallahassee, so going through like downtown and where the Capitol is, and you just ride down and see all the tailgaters and the UM fans, you know, flicking you off, and the Florida State fans probably clicking off the UM team. I'm just calling it how I remember it, guys. And but honestly, man, it was fun because that's the type of environment you go to Florida State. That's the type of environment you go to Miami for, to play in these types of games, meaningful games as well. In November now, obviously, for Miami to try to go ahead and take this Coastal Division. And you just talk about, I know we'll get to their quarterback, Tyler Van Dyke. He's done such a great job. But this is one of those games, man, as a quarterback, you know, whether it's Jordan Travis, McKenzie Milton, or TVD, you kind of etch your name in history as a winner of this game. So it's important for both of these guys.
Well, let's jump into it. You bring up Tyler Van Dyke. Let's talk about this matchup, this game that will be played tomorrow. How has Tyler Van Dyke found this success? How has Miami found this success with him at quarterback and really flipped the season around? The team, not just the offense, the team is playing so much better since he's been the guy.
Yeah, I think it starts with confidence. And we talk about this a lot, you know, amongst each other, and whether it's in text or even at the huddle on the weekends. Man, I think his confidence is through the roof. You know, even going back to when he was saying he's not worried about playing. I forgot what team it was, but he's like, I'm not worried about these guys. They are who they were last year, NC State. And he went out there and torched them, man. He had a great game. Obviously, this past weekend, kind of in a gunfight with Georgia Tech. You know, they got some points off, but TVD still making enough throws and enough good decisions, really. I think that's the biggest difference between his first two starts, first three starts, to the last, you know, last three, is the fact that he's just making better decisions on a consistent basis. Even some of those games they lost, you know, that game to North Carolina late in the game, he tried to force a slant in there. And as a QB and as a young QB at one point, I remember making those types of decisions. You think a guy's there, you try to force something in to make your, you know, to help your guy make a play, especially in crunch time. But the more that TVD understands that, look, I don't have to force anything. The guy has a howitzer for arm. His vision is great. Obviously, he has the size and the height to see over the line. And I also think his anticipation, you know, if you watch the tape, a lot of his throws are timing throws, and he's throwing guys open. He's not just throwing to them once they're already open. So I like what he's doing, and he's so young, man. And we talk about the plethora of quarterbacks in our conference. So he's certainly a name to be reckoned with for the future as well.
EJ, I know you want to talk about quarterbacks and throwing it all over the yard, but Florida State needs to get back to running the football and start pounding people again. Think they can pull that off Saturday?
I hope so, Pac. That's their way to win. You know, if you get a healthy Jordan Travis back, obviously he's going to do his thing on the ground and still make some throws. I would like to see him, you know, get more opportunities to throw the football down the field. When I watched him in practice, I thought he did a good job of, you know, throwing seams, comebacks, things like that down the field. And I think that'll kind of make the defense stretch a little bit more and play sideline to sideline. But also, you know, for Florida State to have success, they have to get that run game going. So just Jayshon Corbin, Trishon Ward, Toa Fila, those guys, if they get going, I think Florida State's offense gets going. That's how they extend drives. That's how they move the chains. And obviously that'll give your defense rest because they're going to have to bring it against TVD, man. All three phases, whether it's the D-line, the linebackers, Amari Gaynor, and those kind of guys, and even in the deep third, you know, Jamie Robinson. So those guys are going to have to not just protect and, you know, try to defend the pass, but also get guys on the ground. You know, both of these teams, we've seen them, struggle with tackles, you know, trying to get people on the ground. So I think the run game will be evenly important for both teams.
EJ, I want to transition a little bit here and move to the game that we will be covering live and in person, headed to Wake Forest. Can't wait to see that matchup with the Deacs and the Wolfpack. What do you expect to see in this game? Because you have the number one defense in the ACC and NC State against the top-notch offense in Wake Forest. Which one do you think is going to give Saturday night?
Well, I think NC State is, one, going to try to take the right hand away from Wake Forest. And we all see Sam Hartman putting up big numbers to A.T. Perry, Ja'Cory Roberson, to Marin. Those receivers that they have are excellent. Even Stewart, you know, the fourth guy. But I really think NC State, the fact that they only hold teams to 100 yards rushing per game is tremendous. The D-line is great. Drake Thomas has been playing outstanding since those two other linebackers have been out with injury. And then EMAC, you know, I love Tanner Engel. He kind of reminds me of Troy Polamalu striking down tackling guys in the alley. You like to see fearless safeties like that. But I think NC State's going to try to take the run game away from Wake Forest and make them throw. Now, I don't know if that's the best recipe, because obviously once Sam Hartman gets going, man, that offensive line do a great job of protecting for him to give him opportunities to throw. But also on the flip side for NC State, they got a special quarterback, man. Devin Leary has been playing outstanding, kind of that unsung hero as far as QBs in ACC. I talk about 25 touchdowns, maybe two or three interceptions, but he's super efficient. He's silky smooth. I like to call him a smooth operator back there in the pocket, and he just doesn't try to do too much, man. If it's just delivering the ball on a screen route, he gets it to the running back and he takes off and he scores. Or if it's just throwing out in the flat off a play action pass, he does what the play call is called for him to do, and you love when you see quarterbacks do that. But NC State defensive, I think they'll try to take away that run game for Wake Forest and make them throw the football.
EJ, I think both Florida State and NC State have something in common. I think they both have to establish the run, because Wake Forest has had a tough time at times stopping the run. NC State the last couple weeks sputtered a little bit. Louisville did a great job smothering them. I think if NC State can establish the run tomorrow night, hey, that's the easiest way to tell Sam Hartman, hey, we respect you, but you're not going to beat us if you're sitting on the bench.
Absolutely, Pac. And look, I'm actually doing a tape tomorrow morning on the huddle. So all you listeners and fans, tune in to us on the huddle, man. I'm going to do a good breakdown of that defensive line for Wake Forest and really just the unsound gap scheme. You know, in EMAC, I've talked about the gaps for Clemson's defense for years as far as how those guys are so gap sound and they're not trying to make the big play. They're trying to make the right play. But with Wake Forest, I think a lot of times they're kind of leaky on the edge. You know, those defensive ends don't really take on those pulling blockers, whether it's a guard or a tackle coming around for a zone scheme downhill, and those guys got to set the edge. So I think hopefully they go back and watch the tape of what they didn't do well against North Carolina. I think that's a big reason why Carolina was able to stay in that game, because they were able to run the ball. Ty Chandler went over 200 yards, and like you said, Pac, NC State's going to see that too. We all watched the tape. So you talk about Bam Knight and Ricky Person Jr., those guys want to get going, and maybe if they have a chance, go for 100 yards apiece, because that Wake Forest D-line has to get tougher and more stout, especially on the edge.
All right, I'll let you get back to your back in black so you can get that work in, get the workout in before you get up to Winston-Salem. But you and the boys at the huddle, have a good time tomorrow, man. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Speaking of the huddle, tomorrow, front and center, begins Saturday, 10 a.m. Talking about my partner over here, Eric Macklin. You just saw EJ, Mark Rick, Jordan Cornette talking Notre Dame. And the
Eddie Royal is going to be with us.
Eddie
soon.
Royal, you got everybody.
We got
the whole
five-man weave going, man.
Can't believe
Come
I didn't on. Get the invite to that. It's my cite. They're going to preview the slate of games, keep you updated on everything ACC football. It starts at 10 a.m. Eastern right here on the ACC Network and the ESPN app. And, of course, that is one app, one tap.
That's right.
10 a.m. Hot donuts now, Krispy Kreme, Arabian sugar cake, Bojangles. You'll be good to go. We come back. Man, we got games to talk about. Team of Mystery taking on, you know what, Syracuse, Virginia Tech, Duke, all that's coming up next right here on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Friday, getting you ready slowly but surely to the weekend. Hoops tonight, great football tomorrow, soccer coming up. We got the Bojangles weekend menu. That's an hour
That's
or so
right.
away.
Come on.
We'll get to that. But I appreciate EJ Manuel stopping by again.
That was
He'll be
great.
With the boys. With the huddle up here in my cite, Winston-Salem. Your boys will be having a good time. Other games of note, let's go to Syracuse and Louisville. Now, I told you. These two teams, I don't know how it's going to end up in November, but both of them are going to look back at this season and go, son of a gun. We gave away two or three. We could be sitting here with an 8-9. Who knows what Emmy wins at the end of the year. Both of them have great opportunities to win games. Something tells me, Eric, this thing's going to get to the fourth quarter, and we're going to find out again who can close.
Yeah.
Who can close.
Right. And that answer has not been Louisville. And it's been very disappointing to see kind of the leads that they have in the fourth quarter and then just not being able to finish the drill, not being able to close the deal. And so can Syracuse take advantage of that? I mean, these are teams that really, you know, kind of mirror each other in what they want to do. They want to run the football. You got a very dynamic quarterback in Malik Cunningham. And, you know, how banged up is he from that Clemson game? You know, took a couple shots, had to leave the game. So is he going to be 100% ready to go? And then you've got a Syracuse team that is very comfortable in their identity, very comfortable in who they are, and the 1-2 punch between Schrader and Sean Tucker there that's been fantastic to see on the ground game. We showed you that one stat per game. I mean, those guys, 1,900 yards between the two of them, a ton of touchdowns, a ton of production. So it's going to be a fun matchup to see who can come out on top.
Louisville 1-4 in their last five. We've talked about so many close losses, yeah. Fourth quarter leads. They just can't close the deal. So out against Virginia at home, had the lead at NC State in the fourth quarter, didn't close. Had an opportunity to win the game against Clemson in the fourth quarter, didn't get the job done. And here's Syracuse, right? Three straight games, they lose by 3 points. You're thinking, man, where's this thing going? Cuse has bounced back. That win at Virginia Tech, I really kind of thought was kind of a game changer for them this season. They're on a two-game winning streak. From a momentum standpoint, there's no doubt Syracuse is in a better spot than Louisville.
Seriously. And like a nice springboard position for them after that Virginia Tech game. And just when you look at the turnaround and how fun this Syracuse team has been to watch. I mean, to go from one win to a game away from bowling. I mean, how great of an accomplishment is that for these seniors, for these young underclassmen that have never experienced a bowl game before? So an unbelievable turnaround. We talk about Miami being one of the hottest teams. I think Syracuse is the best turnaround team this year and what they have been able to accomplish.
Sean Tucker, again, out of nowhere, has just been dynamic. He's 106 yards to set the single-season Orange record, and there have been some dudes carrying the rock
he's right there
at Syracuse. But 34 is a nightmare, just like Malik Cunningham is on the other side. You could see some explosive plays in this game, don't you think?
No question. The one thing that I want to address, what you just said there with kind of Malik versus Sean, the difference between those two is Sean has Garrett. Malik doesn't really have that other, you know, kind of complimentary superstar with him. And I think that's why we're going to see, you know, the Syracuse team really go off. Now, Louisville's run defense has been the strength of that defense. Passing, they've given up a ton of yards. So, you know, do we have to see Garrett Schrader take a step in his progression as a quarterback and with his arm talent? And does he have his biggest day throwing the ball? I think Sean Tucker's still that special that he finds a way.
Syracuse leads the ACC with 32 sacks. I will just say one thing, and you saw it last week with the Clemson game. You get too aggressive going after three, whoosh,
yeah,
gone.
Look out.
He is out of here.
We saw that against Clemson. I mean, no 51 doubt. Yards to the house. If you do not wrap him up, if you do not contain him, he can be a big problem. But as you just mentioned, Syracuse has a ton of different guys from the linebacker position, defensive end, defensive line, that they're going to have their hands full. I mean, Mikal Jones, he's going to have to know where three is at all times, when it's a run, when it's an option, when it's a pass, and really commit to that. So would not be surprised at all, Pack, if we see a spy from Mikal or Wax or, you know, one of the three of those great linebackers that Syracuse has there.
And it should be a great celebration. Lamar Jackson, I mean, he's awesome a player. I mean, it'll be a huge celebration, retiring the number and jersey and all that routine. Man, folks will be fired up, man. What a player.
It's going to be a good environment. And celebrating him, tough game last night, of course, in the NFL. But, I mean, just to celebrate one of the best to ever do it and probably one of the best Ravens of all time when it's all said and done, that young man is he's a special talent. I got to see it up close and personal a lot, and he's a freaky player.
Yep, no doubt. Other game of note, Duke looking for a win, any kind of win. Virginia Tech looking for a win, any kind of win at home. Boy, it's been a weird year for both, right? And like I said, I'm kind of curious to see what Lane Stadium looks like tomorrow afternoon when Duke shows up. The Blue Devils lately, it's just been a nightmare, right? Yeah. They just can't score, can't stop anybody. Virginia Tech offensively has been a nightmare too. You saw them up close and personal on Friday night in Boston. They put 3 points on the board. They threw it for 73 yards. they're just struggling. That's all there is to it. So with that said, what happens in Blacksburg?
Yeah, and especially with not knowing, okay, is Braxton going to be okay? Is he going to be able to play in this game? If not, you know, let's just run the football. It should be a lot of that. I mean, you look at Mateo Durant for Duke playing fantastic this year, has touched the ball 40 times in one game. Why not just do it again? I mean, you're turning the ball over a ton, a lot of picks, 7 interceptions. Just hand it to him. Let him be special. Let him create. Rely on that big offensive line, and hopefully you can get something going. And then same thing for Virginia Tech. You know, Malachi Thomas has been a bright spot. You know, 2 games ago had back-to-back 100-yard games. And, you know, can those two running backs impact this game and try to get a W for each team?
Duke has lost 10 consecutive ACC games. We kind of gave you some offensive and defensive numbers early in the show. Duke defensively is last in the league in terms of being able points-wise. I mean, they just have not stopped anybody. Flip side, Virginia Tech, last in the ACC in terms of scoring. Something's got to give. I mean,
hopefully.
You would assume so. I mean, unless we're going to have 17 punts.
Right.
And, you know, it's 6-3 as we go to the fourth quarter. But I'm hoping we got a little bit more juice going on in the game than that. But, you know, you're just hoping to get some kind of momentum as you finish off November.
And turnovers can do that. You know, certainly if either team can create something, special teams plays can do that. We saw Duke a week ago against Pitt have them right on the edge there and have them on the brink of you know, thinking code red at this point with a defensive score and a special teams touchdown. So those things can change the game. We've seen Virginia Tech score on defense and certainly create a ton of turnovers. So it's going to be something that I think for – each team, there's going to have to be a spark. There's going to be something that happens that gets them going in the right direction.
Virginia Tech has won 4 of the last 5 against Duke. However, the last time Duke rolled into Lane Stadium, I remember watching the game going, yikes, it was a big celebration for some of the all-time great Virginia Tech players, teams, and so forth. And Duke went in there and woodshedded them, 45-10. And you're like, what in the world is going on? So your guess is as good as mine tomorrow,
right,
from that game. That's, I mean, I don't – the want-to has to be there.
Has to.
And that – you know, you get into November, it's a tough year for both of them. You guys are banged up. They're nicked up. There's all kind of negativity from this and the coaches this. And, I mean, you got all kinds of stuff swirling around, right? And who knows how that's going to play out. You're just looking for a W, both of them, desperate for a W. So I think the want-to comes into play here tomorrow.
No question. And that's what we saw really from Pitt playing Duke a week ago and a very slow start. And you make it question, okay, does this team want to be playing them right now? Are they looking at bigger things, looking ahead to maybe that Thursday night battle? And so if Virginia Tech is doing that or just has checked out, or Duke, vice versa, that team can get embarrassed very quickly. So going to be interesting to see, okay, let's play for each other and let's make something happen.
You know, I will say one thing too. Watching you guys last Friday in that game, I don't know, it was a lot of emotion, right? Red bandana night for BC, Djokovic's back. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why BC was fired up. There were moments in that game for Virginia Tech, in my opinion, watching it, and you were there in person doing the game. I just thought in the fourth quarter, Virginia Tech's sideline looked lifeless. It just looked like, hey, let's just get home.
Right.
It's a Friday night. We're down 17-3. We can't move the ball. Defense has done a nice job holding BC. But you can almost see body language and just the momentum. It just looked like Virginia Tech needed a reboot.
Right.
Let's get home. Start again. Duke coming to town. Let's go play.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right.
Look that way. All right. Hour two in the books. Again, we're going to cover everything and everybody. It's what we normally do on this program. We'll continue to do that beginning next hour. As we look back last night, in case you missed it, had a thriller in Pittsburgh. Panthers win 30-23.
He's still celebrating.
In overtime. Yeah, he's fine. He's still wired up, ready to roll. We'll look back at last night's crazy game. Pittsburgh still in control of the Coastal. Again, if you're in the mood, you want to jump on board, you can at 844-SAY-ACCM. It's Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.